ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 12 टेक्स्ट नंबर 38। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द किलिंग ऑफ डीमन अघासुर। नैत विचित्रम मनुजार्भ मायिनः परावराणा परमस्य वेधसः अघो पी यत् स्पर्शण धौत पातकः प्रापात्मा साम्यं त्वा असता सुदुर्लभा। नैतत् विचित्रं मनुजार्भमायिनः परावराणां परमस्य वेधसः अघोऽपि यत्स्पर्शणधौतपातकः प्रापात्मसाम्यं तु औसतां सौधर्लभम्। नैतद्विचित्रं मनुजार्भमायिनः परावराणां परमस्य वेधसः अघोऽपि यत्स्पर्शणधौतपातकः प्रापात्मसाम्यं तु असतां सुदुर्लभा। नैतद्विचित्रं मनुजार्भमायिनः परावराणां परमस्य वेधसः अघोऽपि यत्स्पर्शणधौतपातकः प्रापात्मसाम्यां तु असतां सुदुर्लभा। स्पर्शणधौतपातकः प्रापात्मसाम्यं प्रसतं। माताजी तं विचित्रं मनुजार्भमायिनः Etad, this vichitram is wonderful. Manuja arbamayina of Krishna, who appeared as son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, being compassionate upon them. Para avaranam, of all causes and effects. Pramasya Vedhasaha, of the Supreme Creator. Agha Api, Aghasur also. Yat Sparshana, simply by slight association. Of whom Dhautapatakaha became freed from all contamination. Of material existence. Prapa became elevated. Atma Samyam, to a body exactly resembling that of Narayan. Tu, but Asatam Sudurlabham, which is not at all possible to be obtained by contaminated souls. But everything can be possible by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Translation and purport by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Krishna is the cause of all causes. The causes and effects of the material world, both higher and lower, are all created by the Supreme Lord, the original controller. When Krishna appeared as the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, he did so by his causeless mercy. Consequently, for him to exhibit his unlimited opulence was not at all wonderful. Indeed, he showed such great mercy that even Aghasur, the most sinful miscreant, was elevated to being one of his associates and achieving Sarupya Mukti, which is actually impossible for materially contaminated persons to attain. Purport. The word Maya is also used in connection with love. Out of Maya, love, a father has affection for his child. Therefore, the word Mayinaha indicates that Krishna, out of love, appeared as the son of Nanda Maharaj and assumed the form of human child. Manujarba, Krishna is the cause of all causes. He is the creator of cause and effect and is the supreme controller. Nothing is impossible for him. Therefore, that he enabled even a living being like Aghasur to attain the salvation of Swarupa Mukti was not at all wonderful for Krishna. Krishna took pleasure in entering the mouth of Aghasur in a sporting spirit along with his associates. Therefore, when Aghasur, by that sporting association as maintained in the spiritual world, was purified of all contamination, he attained Swarupya Mukti and Vimukti by the grace of Krishna. For Krishna, this was not at all wonderful. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tam Sajivam साद्वैतम सावदूतम परिजना सहितम कृष्ण चैतन्य देवम श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितमश्च नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिन इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्य देशतारिणे वंचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे। नैतद् विचित्रम मनुजार्बमायिनः परावराणाम परमस्य वेधस अघोपियत स्पर्शन धौत पातक प्रापात्म साम्यम तु असताम सुदुर्लभम। कृष्ण इज द कॉज ऑफ ऑल कॉजेस, द कॉजेस एंड इफेक्ट्स ऑफ द मटीरियल वर्ल्ड बोथ हायर एंड लोअर आर ऑल क्रिएटेड बाय द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड द ओरिजिनल कंट्रोलर। एंड कृष्ण अपीयर्ड एज द सन ऑफ नंद महाराज एंड यशोदा, ही डिड सो बाय हिज कॉजलेस मर्सी। Consequently, for him to exhibit his unlimited opulence was not at all wonderful. Indeed, he showed such great mercy that even Agasur, the most sinful miscreant, was elevated to being one of the associates and achieving Swarup Mukti, which is actually impossible for materially contaminated persons to attain. Hare Krishna. So Aghasur has been killed by Krishna and he achieves Swarup Mukti. We see Aghasur, when he came to Vrindavan, his body was massive but mind was very small, because he came with the intention of taking revenge, because Aghasur was the brother of Bakasur and Putana. He didn't consider anything but his relationship to them, that they are my relatives and Krishna killed them. On the other hand, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prabhupada, explains in the previous purports that Krishna, when he entered into Vrindavan, it's a very beautiful pastime. Before killing, there is artistic exhibition of his friendship with his coward boys. You know, they are going into the forest, enjoying picnic, grazing the cows. Millions of cows are there. And Prabhupada explains, Krishna has unlimited cows. Krishna has unlimited power. And Krishna has unlimited friends. That means Krishna has unlimited mercy also. Krishna consciousness means broad-mindedness. And Aghasur was very big, you know, in body, in size, in shape, being infamous. But unfortunately, his mind was very small, small-mindedness. Therefore, bhakti, Krishna consciousness, has a struggle, conflict with small-mindedness. And we see, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Aghasur represents the quality of cruelty and envy. Envy, and naturally the consequence of envy is cruelty. There can be many reasons for cruelty. But there is envy, so naturally there is a tendency to hurt others. As harsh as possible, physically, verbally, mentally, socially, economically, from all angle, one tries to hurt. So, Aghasur, when he came down there, No, so mean in his understanding. He never thought what my sister and brother did to Krishna. I need to take revenge. Similarly, Kamsa's wives also, when they went to Jarasan, who was their father, they didn't think that what our husbands did. My husband, therefore, is right. This is bodily concept of life. I, me and mine is so strong that one loses the power of discrimination. When the power of discrimination is lost, one becomes extremely selfish. Then one cannot think from the perspective of dharma. But here Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Agasur came to kill him, but still because he provided some enjoyment to Krishna's friends. Not even Krishna directly. Because you are giving some pleasure to those who are connected to me, then what is the destiny? The destiny is that you will achieve liberation. You go to the Vaikuntha planet. Therefore, anyone who comes to Krishna by any means, for him to go back to the spiritual world is not the most wonderful thing. That is not even a consideration for one who is practicing Krishna consciousness. That is not a fear also. If the demon, without having any intention of going back to Godhead, we discuss so much of going back to Godhead, but we fail to recognize how to stay here properly. So Aghasur had no intention. I don't think even he knew about the Vaikuntha world. He never considered that, you know, I want to go to Vaikuntha planet. But he went back to the spiritual world. So therefore Prabhupada writes in 2-3 purports that anyone who comes in contact with Krishna for them to achieve perfection is not at all wonderful. Coming to Krishna means you achieved perfection. By any means. Akama, Sarvakama, Moksha Kama. With envy, with greed, with lust, with false pride. However one comes to Krishna, Narad Muni spoke this in the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam while narrating the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj to Yudhishthir, that ena kena prakarena, by any means, however one comes to Krishna, he will achieve perfection. So that is not a problem. The problem is practicing Krishna consciousness in this world and creating a proper legacy so that others can also take to Krishna. Because if there is no right example, then what does it do? It creates a legacy of atheism. So when we study philosophy of Krishna consciousness or philosophy of spirituality, we see that as a conditioned soul, we also have the tendency to be cruel to others. Maybe not we don't have the resources. The legal system doesn't support us now. But the inherent quality, the psychological quality is there of being cruel to others. And it is explained that this quality of cruelty can be for any reason, any insignificant reason. In the school, children may bully someone who is very weak. And we see that ragging. What is ragging? Ragging means you take someone who is innocent, helpless, newcomer, stranger, rather than making him feel comfortable, you know, group of people who are considered as senior students in the colleges, they are supposed to be refined and educated. They speak good English, no doubt. But unfortunately, what a tendency that you take pleasure in hurting physically, verbally, and that is your pleasure. Or someone simply because of limited resources, he wants to prove his resources. I narrated this also. One king from this Arabian country, when he visited London, he saw the place where people get executed, capital punishment. Those who were giving tool to him, he said, "Can I see how you execute?" They said, "We have none. At this point of time, there is nobody to be executed." He said, "Take one of my men, execute him." He is giving one of his guard, one of his associate, he said, "Isko hang kar do, because I want to see it. Just see that there is no consideration, that is, he has taken shelter of mine. his whole consciousness that I need to see somebody being killed. If you don't have anyone legally, then take my man and kill him. And we also see that someone like Duryodhan, small-mindedness. His small-mindedness led to such a human slaughter, as our acharyas explain. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains. He was able to say this to Dronacharya, Madarte Tektva Jivita. All these people lined up to die for my sake. Just see, taking pleasure in that also, all these people will die for my sake. That was his pleasure. Ki, they are willing to die for my sake and he is not doing anything for them. Ravan also, he had millions of soldiers. In fact, all the widowed women in Lanka, they were cursing Shurpanaka, cursing Ravan. Why? Because Ravan had no consideration. He was willing to wake up his own brother. Kumbhakarna had the curse. You cannot wake him up untimely. Whenever he wakes up, that is a timely waking up. There was no alarm. So he forced him to get up. Knowing very well, if he is woken up untimely, his death is assured. Death is guaranteed. Sending for his own personal benefits, that you go and fight and kill Ram. Knowing very well that he cannot be surviving. And Kumbhakarna tells this to Ravan, that my dear brother, I am going down now to fight for you, but I know my death is guaranteed. So when your brother is telling that I am going to die, you would tell, okay, don't go out. A considerate parents or teacher would always give warning to the student. Be careful, there is a danger here. There are so much of safety nets put up so that one can avoid the danger. But here he is sending. So cruel. And there is a cruelty caused by justice also. Sometimes you cannot avoid cruelty. When Bhima killed Dushasan, you know, for how many years that crime what they committed in that gambling match had to be tolerated by all these great personalities without saying anything. They could not even speak. You don't hear or read in the Mahabharata wherein the Pandavas raised voice to stop this crime. You are watching the crime and you are not taking any action, and the justice was basically denied. Justice delayed, justice denied. But there was burning anger in the heart of Bhima. He had the power. He was right. And therefore when he got the opportunity, the way he killed Dushasan, very gruesome. Very gruesome. No Aryan. Bhima comes in the Aryan family. He was invoked by Pandu Maharaj by performing tapasya for 1 year. When people conceive, they may chant only 50 rounds, which takes maybe 10-12 hours. But Kunti and Pandu Maharaj, they perform tapasya for 1 year to invoke Bhima. Such a purity. But when Bhima killed Dushasan, the way he killed him, he drank his blood. Of course he told Gandhari, I didn't. But once it goes in your mouth, some drop will go inside. You can't avoid it. It's a liquid thing. So just see such a cruelty. I was telling this story to our children and I asked, is it right? So one student, she said, cruel but just. It is cruel but it is just, because Dushasan deserved it. And just see how they performed this cruelty act. The cruelty act was performed just because they won the gambling match. And another principle is that when artha is earned by adharma, then the kama becomes very distorted. Sense gratification is allowed in Krishna consciousness. Krishna explains in the Gita, yukta hara viharasya, yukta chestasu karmasu. There is a facility for recreation. But that recreation can be destroyed if our resources are born out of adharma. We see in the gambling match, Pandavas conquered the entire world in a very dharmic way. They were Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas had the right to perform Rajasuya sacrifice. And Krishna basically tricked Yudhishthira Maharaj to perform Rajasuya sacrifice. Yudhishthira Maharaj would not want to do it. He sent Narad Muni. Narad Muni came down to their palace. And Yudhishthira Maharaj asked, "How is my father doing?" And Narad Muni told, "Your father is stuck in the Pitriloka. He should have been gone higher, but he is stuck in Pitriloka because unless you perform this sacrifice, there is no chance for him to go higher." So he said, "Okay, I will do it." But he didn't know what it entails. So therefore, when he invited Krishna, Krishna said, "If you want to perform Rajasuya sacrifice, you have to conquer others." So there was a confusion. But still, anyway, he conquered, sending all his brothers in all four directions. And they came back, and the Rajasuya sacrifice was performed. But these people, the Kauravas, they challenged Pandavas for a gambling match. And not even Duryodhan did not play the gambling match. He made somebody else play on his behalf, who has nothing to do with Hastinapur. He lives in Gandhar Desh. You call somebody else from somewhere, and he fights and he plays for you, and you become victorious. And after winning, because that resources was earned by illegal means, it was adharma, that leads to naturally to enjoy in a perverted way. And we see in the material world, unfortunately, the kind of enjoyment goes on. In the name of enjoyment, it is mostly perverted. Video games, for the example. It's all about destruction. There is no construction, hardly. Such constructive games don't sell only. If you have to construct something, I don't think anybody wants to play. Even the devotee children. Even devotees sometimes on their mobile phone, if you are bored, you know, reading Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. So the most of the games are what? Shooting, you know, crashing, killing, destroying. So these kind of games are there. So there is a natural inherent quality of destruction. So we see that. And it is explained in psychology that destructive mentality is called as abstraction. Abstraction means you create a function out of people. You don't consider people to be human beings. Consider people to be abstract things who are only functionable. As long as they are functionable, utilize them. When they are not functionable, drop them. When the Americans brought the slaves, no, they are human beings. They had feelings, they had children, they had families. But they were taken from Africa, brought to America, and used for making these big, big roads, infrastructure. I mean, they would not function, drop them during the Renaissance in Europe. You know, people were considered as only hands. We need 600 hands. We need 800 hands. We need 1200 hands. And in the 1200 hands, if four hands become damaged, you know, you read the history, and they would take those people and throw them beyond the walls of their industry, and thousands of other people would be waiting for the job and take them inside. And who were doing it? Those were progressive in mentality. They had, you know, they had Renaissance. They did create revolution. Similarly, when the Japanese were bombed, it is explained that they were not considered as human beings. They gave a derogatory name called Japs. Just see how, like our Ravindra Swaraprabhu also explains, that abortion is not called as killing the child. That's too gross. It hurts your ears. What is that? Tissue termination. We are only terminating the tissue. So in this way, when we philosophize our cruelty, that becomes very dangerous. And especially in religion, when we have a philosophy of spirituality and plus we have cruelty, that is called as terrorist. The terrorists have philosophy. They believe in God. They do everything in the name of God. But can you imagine what kind of cruelty they have? They have the resources, they are doing it.
And some other religious people may not have the religious, they may not have the resources to kill like that, but the mentality is there. Therefore, bhakti in Krishna consciousness, we see in Vaishnavism that this is the most important principle, that developing a very sensitive and very soft heart. Therefore, the whole pastime of Krishna stealing butter, what does it indicate? It indicates that one has to make one's heart very soft. Bhagavatam explains that after all that chanting, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. After all that chanting, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam explains, if our heart does not melt, if it is still considered as steel frame, then what is the point? Very dangerous. Therefore, if we study the history, that cruelty most of the time is exhibited by the religious people only. Because those who are not religious, in the back of their mind there is some sentiments. One of our devotees was telling me, you know, there was one mafia, gunda, whatever we call, you know. So he came to know that this devotee, his neighbor, he comes to ISKCON temple and he prays to God, he chants Hare Krishna mantra. So one day he came to him, very big gunda, he came to him and he touched his feet, who was like his neighbor only. He touched his feet, he said, you go to the temple. And he said, Tumcha Bhagwantala Sang Maja Sati Malakshama Karana Sati. If he can forgive me. If Lord can forgive me for sinful activities, ask him to forgive me because I have sinned. I have done so many sinful activities. Then he said, actually I did sinful activity for good reason, but still it is sinful. He had the understanding without reading Gita Bhagavatam. It's common sense. In the back of the mind, in our own confidential heart, we know what is good, what is bad. You don't need a philosophical understanding for this. Even a small child will come to know because the Paramatma is residing there. So he said, you ask God to forgive, if he can forgive. I've done sinful activities, legally, morally, I am criminal. I know I turned a criminal for some reason, which was, I believe, is good reason, but now still I misused. He's speaking all this philosophy and touching his feet. He knows that this person goes to the temple, that means he is saintly. Such a beautiful, I was quite amazed to hear this story. And within 2 days he was killed by the police. I think better to be a gunda like this than to be a so-called devotee and criminalized in the name of philosophy. He died within 2 days, police shot him. But at least he identified someone who was in a typical regular dress. You know, a pants shirt, you know, moving into his office job. And then he says, touching his feet, he was junior to him. Aur aapke bhagwan se mere liye prarthana karo ki wo kshama kar sake to kshama kare for my sinful activity. You know, very touching story. But on the other hand, we see that one who takes to spirituality and continues to maintain that cruelty. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, there are some anarthas will not go without our own personal efforts. We cannot expect Krishna to remove those sinful tendencies, those anarthas, hoping that since I have taken to Krishna consciousness, automatically everything will happen. No, automatic happening everything is only in the magic. Even for that, magician has to work a little hard. He has to trick all the kids who are sitting in front of him, including the adults. But here, one has to put in efforts to overcome this tendency. But what happens? The living entity, one who is thinking, he knows the philosophy, he always hides his cruelty behind the philosophy. And that creates great danger. When we hide our anarthas, we hide our cruelty behind the concept of spirituality, then there is no regret. Then there is no remorse. then in fact there is a conviction that anyway what I do here is not important, what I do wrong is not so important, what I do is that I am connected to Krishna, therefore it is guaranteed that I will go back to Godhead. I was reading one article, in Christianity also there was reincarnation. Just see, we may have a good intention, but the concepts are wrong, even the good intention can lead to great danger. The preachers in the early, you know, missionaries in Christian world, when they saw, the Bible talks about reincarnation. So they said, reincarnation means what? Those who practice religion will take it for granted. Oh, there is one more chance. We have to come back to this world again. So there is another chance is there. So if we present like that, what will happen? People will not take to spirituality seriously. So therefore, remove this concept of reincarnation only, so that people will become very serious. No, you cannot change the logical order. So there was the intention was good, that we should not give them chance. And now it has become such a way that you have only one chance to practice God consciousness. And if you miss it, then you are eternally condemned. So, we have a philosophy and it depends upon us how we apply in our life. Just because people apply it wrongly, we can't change philosophy. Just because, you know, mercy is there, we have the choice. Like one devotee asked Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu explains, by just circumambulating once, or you know, the incense, when the smoke goes into your nostril, then you are freed from the material body. You take one circumambulation of the temple, then you no more take birth in this material world. These concepts are there in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in many places. Just by offering one obeisance to the Lord Vishnu, it is as good as performing millions of Rajasuya sacrifices. So again, the material mind says, if Krishna consciousness is so easy, why practice four regulative principle? Why think about Vaishnava Prad? Why chant 16 rounds every day? Why offer bhoga to the Lord? Why keep the deities when bhakti is so easy? So this devotee asked this question to Prabhupada, why should we struggle so much? He said, that is mundane calculation. What is mundane calculation? The mundane calculation is that always give less tax to the government. As much as possible, try to avoid, evade the taxes so that I benefit. If the same concept is also there with God, that I need to do less and less for Krishna and get more and more benefit from the Lord, that is not bhakti. Krishna certainly gives more and more, even those who offer less and less, but He is proving His quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But are we proving our quality of being a devotee? Devotee means, what he does, if Krishna can give me so much for so less, why not give so much more to Krishna? I want to compete with Krishna in giving more of my love to Krishna. All these stories of Agasur, Bakasur are meant not so that we become Agasur and Bakasur. All these stories are there to prove that by being Aghasur and Bakasur one can achieve perfection. What if I become like Prahlad Maharaj? What if I become like Dhruva Maharaj? What if I become like the gopis of Vrindavan? What if I become like Nanda and Yashoda? Rupa Goswami explained one has to follow in their footsteps. Like just before I came here, or Nandulal Prabhu was saying that Rupa Goswami Bhagavatam explains that Bhagavatam is only meant for those who are having no envy. Nirmatsaranam satam. But we have envy. When we analyze our heart, in fact, we came to this material world only because Ichha Dvesha Samutvena Dvandumumahena Bharata. We came to this material world because we have envy towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we have envy towards God, who is so kind, what to speak of other living entities? So where is the question of reading Bhagavatam? And what is the question of understanding Srimad Bhagavatam? So he was quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, non-envy in our context means being trying to be less and less selfish, or trying to be more selfless. Therefore, Rupa Goswami, in fact, our acharyas, our concepts in the shastras, there is a lofty philosophy and there is a practical step to achieve that lofty philosophy. Philosophy is lofty, but if there is no practical steps which can be implemented, which can be practiced, then it makes us very hopeless to practice devotional service. Non-envy is not possible, but selflessness can be possible, little by little. Therefore, Prabhupada explains in one Gita purport that yajna jnana tapa, you know, in no condition one should give up, because yajna jnana and tapa purifies even the great personalities. So what to speak of the ordinary people? So the concept of giving it to others, yajna means what? Sacrifice. Sacrifice means what? That I do sacrifice my time for somebody else's sake. That is sacrifice. And dana means what? I have some resources. I have so much more. I want to give it to others also, for good cause. And tapasya means what? Tapasya means that I want to do something, but it is not beneficial for me and those who are connected to me. So even though I want to do it, I will not do it. That is tapasya. So when we do these practical things, and we see, we are forced to do it. A student is forced to give up playing, even though he likes to play, and he doesn't like to study, he doesn't like to appear for the exam, but he chooses to take something which is more responsible and gives up what is more enjoyable. A father knows taking care of family is more difficult than taking care of the kingdom. Right, Prabhupada writes like that. But still a responsible father, even though there is a difficulty, he does it. So therefore, in human existence, we do not live because, we do not do something because there is enjoyment. We do something because it is a responsibility. And unfortunately, the modern society looks for enjoyment, doesn't look for responsibility, and anything which burdens, then you quit. And that's what the psychologists, that's what the psychiatrists say, that anything hurts you, anything bothers you, anything burdens you, you quit it. You don't take it. But that is very dangerous philosophy. That doesn't fit into our Vedic system. Even though it is burdensome, if it is right, one has to do. Otherwise, our cruelty, our envy goes on increasing so much, like I was reading one article, that one of the great kings, I would not want to name in this public assembly, may be very shocking, that he struggled very hard to establish a kingdom so that the Sanatana Dharma could be practiced. But his very wife, you know, she was so selfish, she wanted her son to be the next king. And as a Kshatriya king, he married many women. And she became so desperate, not that she, just see, she was not wanting to murder her husband, but this desire became very strong that my son should be the king, my son should be the king. And this king realized, and therefore wherever he would go out, he would ask people that, do you have any anti-poison? He was fearing that my wife, some of my relatives could do it. And the historians, they say that he was poisoned by his very wife so that she can eliminate him and make her son into the king. We read, yesterday we were discussing Maharaj Chitraketu story. Now if you study Bhagavatam Chitraketu story, that Chitraketu Maharaj married so many wives, and he must have married women from very good family. They must have been coming from princely order, you know, seeing all the astrological chart also. In those times they would see astrology. And he married with the intention that he wanted a son. And as many people he was marrying, he was not getting. And eventually by the grace of Angira Muni, he got a virtual son. He came for some time. No, because he was not supposed to be born, because in his destiny there was no child only. So the child was deceptive, was not real, but the misery was reality. And how the misery was caused? Just see, all these women, his very wives, when they saw that Kritadyuti has become most favorite wife because she gave birth to a baby, it is not consciously, but unconsciously they start developing this desire that we need to kill this baby so that we can get the benefit of getting the attention of our husband. They were common, regular women. Not mean, not demonic, not rakshasis, not born to rakshasas, born to a good family only, but this tendency developed in them. And what they did? They consciously fed poison to this baby, they killed the baby. And then Chitraketu Maharaj and his wife suffered so much. Therefore, Prabhupada explains, you know, that how much people do such selfish activities. He talks about Mughal Empire. The very son killing his brother, killing his father, chasing his son away. The history is not only about the kings. The king stories, because they are big stories, they are famous stories, and therefore they come in the newspaper, they become historical reality. But there are people who are also small-minded, but they are small, their stories may not come in the historical textbook, but they also perform these activities. So therefore, it is so important that becoming Krishna consciousness means actually developing Krishna's consciousness. Krishna's consciousness means what? One is artificially trying to remember Krishna. I want to remember Krishna. I need to remember Krishna. 64 rounds, 128 rounds, 194 rounds. No, Krishna, 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 Krishna. But in this Krishna, if the consciousness of Krishna is not there, what is Krishna's consciousness? Krishna's consciousness is extremely liberal. He is extremely kind. Extremely liberal only at a very difficult situation where there is a need to give physical pain, he does it. Killing of Kamsa, killing of Jarasand, killing of Shishupal. He gave that promise to his mother, Shishupal's mother, even if he commits apradh hundreds of times, I will forgive. And Shishupal was quite, as Radhananda Maharaj explains, he was quite calculative. He would only chant, only blaspheme Krishna till 99. And he would run away. No? But this time, he lost his brain. He became so envious of the Pandavas, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He kept on blaspheming the Supreme Personality of Godhead in public. He didn't stop Bhishma, Bhima, Sahadev, Yudhishthira Maharaja warning. Somebody was asking, is there any problem in your brain? There is Vata Rog for you. Bhima was asking, you know, I'll make a hole in your tongue. Bhishma said, come out, I will kill you. Sahadev said, I'll trample upon your head. Everybody was warning him, but Shishupal could not contain, could not stop. So as a last resort, Krishna had to kill him. But instantly after killing, Krishna gave him perfection. So just see, therefore here Prabhupada explains that for Krishna to give the spiritual world is not wonderful, because that's his nature. His nature is to take the living entities back to the spiritual world. Therefore becoming Krishna consciousness means becoming large-hearted. If you don't become large-hearted, in the name of loyalty, basically, many times we are small-minded, but our small-mindedness is covered in the name of loyalty, in the name of philosophy, in the name of integrity. That is all covered over. In the name of confidence, in the name of being confidential associates, you know, what does it do? You know, it takes this covering. So therefore, there is the greatest fear of becoming a hypocritical. And once we become hypocritical and we are convinced that what I am doing is right, then that cruelty what increases in the name of religion. And we see so much of killing in the name of religion, that by killing these people I achieve perfection, then why should I practice religion? What is the need to practice religion? That I don't regret killing. Here Vaishnava philosophy says, Bhagavatam explains in the fifth canto, there are hell for killing even insects. If you kill cockroach, you go to hell. If you kill some insects, you go to hell. If you drop charanamrita, you go to hell. Yesterday, Baldev Prabhu was mentioning. Bhagavatam is so sensitive. Our scriptures are so sensitive. Now, it is not that one goes to hell because killing of insects. So, Bhagavatam is giving us the understanding that how one has to be so considerate and sensitive. While Bhagavatam says that one will go to hell by killing the incense, the same Bhagavatam explains even killing of a cow or killing a Brahmana, there is a facility, one can actually overcome even that sin also by taking to Krishna consciousness. Very balancing. Wherein it talks about there is a hell for killing an ant, but there is a facility for going back to God even if you are a killer of a Brahmana or a cow. Very liberal in its approach, but very sensitive also in regards to how we deal with people. So if we understand this principle with this Aghasur story, who was so small-minded, he never heard that when Putana was killed, the fragrance was coming from her body. He must have never experienced any fragrance from Putana. You know, she's a witch, she's a demon, you know, flesh eater. Where is the proper smell? He could never put that logical connection that Krishna killed my sister and her body was fragrant. If you know killing of Putana, you should also know the fragrance of Putana and she achieving the perfection, going back to Godhead. Same thing Bakasur, same thing happened. But you are so small minded, I need to take revenge. This is my, you know, oblation to my sister and brother when I kill Krishna. And what does Krishna do on the other hand? He said, I have sent your sister, I have sent your brother, now I will also send you back to the spiritual world. Therefore it is explained that these qualities of Krishna are so wonderful. So when we study Krishna's qualities, when we understand Krishna's glory, then as Uddhav mentioned to Vidur, said, my dear Vidur, you know, whom should I accept as my Lord and shelter other than Krishna? Why? Because if he can deliver Putana who came to kill him, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, Jesus Christ said, forgive the sinner. You know, neutral. But here Krishna was sending Putana to back to Godhead. Much higher concept than simply forgiving. Giving positive benefit to someone who came to hurt you. That is Vaishnavism. So when we practice Vaishnavism in this way, step by step, then we can understand Bhagavatam and we can create further legacy of bringing more and more people to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if you don't practice like this, we will be like Aghasur but with a tilak on our forehead. That is very dangerous. So killing of Aghasur, killing of Putana, killing of Tranavarta, nobody raises question. But when Brahmaji, Indra came and they created trouble, people ask this question, how can Brahmaji do like this? How can Indra do like this after being demigods? Not one time. Indra, he did in Govardhan Lila, Indra did in Parijat Lila also. Krishna goes and gives back what belongs to the demigod, which was under the custody of Narakasur. He goes and gives back. He goes personally to heavenly planets to deliver. You know, why should he do for the demigods? And then when he wants to take some tree, you know, Parija tree, and Indra comes to fight him. And he's a devotee and he's a demigod. So naturally, Indra's behavior will raise question to any sane person. How can he do like this? So when a devotee behaves wrongly, cruelly, you know, without sensitivity, then certainly people will ask this question. But when a gunda behaves like that, the way he behaved, people say, wow, he's a gunda, he's a murderer, but he's saying, if God can forgive me, we consider we are forgiven only, we are all special souls. Whatever we do is all transcendental activity. Just see how much dangerous practicing Krishna consciousness with the wrong premises. Very, very dangerous. So therefore, as our Ravindra Swarupu explained, You know, devotees first should become human beings. When we become human beings properly, then there is a chance of becoming proper devotee. And when we become a devotee, then we will have the ability to withstand envy and also do some charity for others. Not only of giving philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but practicing the culture of Krishna consciousness. And in this way, we can become dear to Guru and Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes,
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you for a very nice class, Prabhuji. Just one point, bit of a confusion. That as devotees, you mentioned that we see the example of Akasur, where very easily Krishna just liberated him because he is large-hearted. So that gives great hope. But at the same time, we should not live our lives in such a manner. We should be, really engaging in Krishna consciousness. So that kind of creates a bit of a confusion what really should be our consciousness. Obviously, we are doing whatever we are doing. Somewhere at the back of the mind, there is a desire that, we should get out of cycle of birth and death and go back to Godhead. We still don't have the mentality that we want to serve Krishna when we go back to Godhead. It is just that, we want to go back to God. That is the goal. That is the goal. And one side there is the story of Putna and Agasur, and other side there is the long struggle that we see. So how do we really balance? It's difficult to ignore this, and at the same time, the struggles that we face on a day-to-day basis makes it very difficult to, see the goal. Goal looks very far away. So how do we really balance this?
Yeah, therefore our Shastras, they talk Shurasya Dhara. No, the concepts can be applied wrongly. No, I already said that when we study Putana, Aghasur, Bakasur, Kamsa, all achieve perfection. If they can do, I do devotional service. So I should also go back to Godhead. So when we take it for granted, then it is not bhakti, it is karma kanda. We are here to practice devotional service. We want to love Krishna. It's a love affair. In love affair, there is no condition. If there is a condition in love affair, it is not love. I'll only love you because you give me some party. Because you take me to movies. Because you make good clothes. No, we see the whole modern concept is that love is made into very conditional activities. So that is, therefore, it is not love. So in bhakti also, if we take these stories, as I gave the example of the Christian concept, we will not avoid these stories of Putana, Aghasur, Bakasur going back to Godhead. But at the same time, these stories are not there for us to become like them. After all, we will also go back to Godhead. Then it's a defeat of our own practice of spirituality. So therefore, as a bhakta, as a devotee, one has to be a sadhaka, putting all his efforts, knowing very well that only my sadhana will keep me in the goal. Otherwise, I will not go back to Godhead. No, I am not Putana. She was fortunate. So our efforts has to be there as if I am the doer. And on a consciousness level, on action level, we have to work hard. On a consciousness level, you can seek blessings of Krishna the way Putana received. But that consciousness, I want blessings the way Krishna gave to Putana, and it also translates into action, then neither we get blessings like Putana, nor we get mercy like Prahlad who got because of his sadhana bhakti. So therefore, no concept should be taken and misused. And that's what many spiritualists, the neophyte spiritualists do this. You study the history, whether it is Christianity, Islam or Vaishnavism, any ism, when it is wrongly applied, there is a danger. So therefore, a sadhaka has to apply it rightly. The mercy factor should not be misused. The law of karma factor should not be worried so much. So therefore, Vaishnavism is creating a balance. If you take this way, I only can do myself and go for achieve perfection, that is also not possible. If you only say, okay, after all, Krishna is there to protect. It's very mean to use all these demons for our perfection without putting in efforts. We have not come here to oppose Krishna. No, it is not favorable. Rupa Goswami does not recommend practicing devotional service unfavorably. He says, bhakti should be practiced favorably. Putana, Aghasur, Bakasur, everybody practice bhakti unfavorably. It is not favorable devotional service. So how can we follow that also and call ourselves as a devotee? Then we should call we are demons. Therefore I quoted that story of this mafia. Better off that kind of consciousness, he knows I am a mafia. And we are here mafia and we have a tilak. Oh, I am a devotee. I am a very good devotee. I am a senior devotee. I am an advanced devotee. But what is my consciousness? What is my mentality? My mentality is to hurt others. Only thing, I don't have a weapon. Otherwise, I will do the same thing what the terrorists are also doing. So therefore, analyzing one's consciousness, repeatedly reflecting, is very important. Therefore, being a Hitler for good reason or bad reason is bad. You cannot be harsh. You cannot be cruel for whatever reason. If you are cruel because of your imperfect senses, you beg forgiveness. You repent and tell Krishna, pray to Guru, this is wrong on my part. So therefore, most important quality in Kali Yuga, more than performing tapasya, just now today is last day of Purushottam Mas. It is easier to eat once a day. Most of the time we only focus on physical things. Chant more rounds. It's a physical activity. Eat less. It's a physical activity. But we do not focus on ego. We only talk about you have become thin. You have become fat. You have become sick. You are very healthy. So our entire focus is so much on physical level, but we never discuss on the ego level. What is my ego? My ego is becoming big. My ego is becoming small. Because others cannot understand. And even if they understand, they don't want to hurt our false ego. So what kind of austerities do we perform? Bhagavad Gita talks about austerity of the mind, austerity of the body, austerity of the speech, austerity of the ego also. But that austerity is very difficult to perform. Our Bhurijanpu was saying, not to read newspaper is easy. Not to criticize Vaishnava, that is very difficult. So again we take shelter of physical austerities and call ourselves and feel satisfied. I did Purushottamas very nicely, so Krishna has to give me mercy. So therefore a sadhaka has to be very reflective in his devotional service. As we go older, we should realize how far we are away from Krishna. As Maharaj explains, negativity of consciousness gives rise to more Krishna's mercy. And that humility makes us more and more honest. Otherwise, the danger of religion is, false practice of religion is that there is some kind of confirmation, some kind of assurance, which is false assurance, that I will achieve perfection. Mahaprabhu is there. Nityanand Prabhu is there. My Guru is there. Prabhupada's mission is there. Okay, when you put all the blame or all the responsibility on somebody else other than yourself, then what does it do? It makes us irresponsible and cruel. Therefore, the responsibility in Vaishnava philosophy lies with you. Prabhupada therefore he explains, ultimately you have to fly your own plane. Guru will teach you how to fly, but he will not fly your plane because he has to fly his own plane also. Because he himself is thinking as a sadhaka. He is not thinking, I came down to save all of you. Then there is a problem with him. Why is he guru? Because he is acting as if he is a disciple. Mahaprabhu came down not to tell that I am your savior. He came down to teach, you know, as a student, as a disciple. So therefore, they teach in a completeness, even quitting their body in such a way, you know, that I have to leave myself alone. Therefore, most safest position, you know, my personal feeling is, the most safest position is that these stories of Agasur perfection, Putana's perfection, they are good entertainment. They are very good stories for us to go deeper and, you know, experience lot of nice, fun-filled pastimes. But ultimately, they should not be taken as, you know, if Agasur can achieve perfection, even I will achieve perfection. Then my tendency will be that I want to be like Agasur, consciously or unconsciously. So therefore, what is the reality? Reality is that I have to deliver myself. So therefore, one becomes very serious in bhakti. Then our sadhana becomes very strong. Our behavior becomes very strong. In the school, you get appreciation card based upon your good behavior. A child knows it. So therefore the child tries to behave nicely. So we are children, at least we should have that intelligence as a child has in the school. But we are thinking, you know, where we are supposed to get remark, we get special mercy. That is very dangerous. That will not go well. Even if you go back to Godhead. Therefore, the point is, going back to Godhead is not a big deal. It's much easier to go to back to Godhead than getting a local train in Bombay. At least I believe like that. It's much easier because there is no rush. So what is most important, as far as my understanding goes, you know, I'm just sharing my personal feeling, is that what kind of legacy do you create for those who are connected to you? Your family members, your neighbors, your friends, you know, those who are your subordinates or your superiors or your equal. What kind of legacy, what kind of faith you are giving to them? It doesn't matter whether you go back to Godhead, but what you did here creates a lack of faith or increased faith in your surrounding. And that is the most important principle. Because you have called yourself as a devotee. If you are not taken to the path of devotional service, not initiated, no tilak, no kantimala, no dhoti kurta, never came to the temple and behave the way you want to behave, and Krishna sends you back to Godhead, then you could be one story. You know? Like that gunda. Nobody knows about him. But I am assured, very strong, you know, he is not even like Agasur. Such a nice, when I heard, I almost had tears in my eyes. I said, wish I had that kind of consciousness. He is trusting a devotee. And maybe some other devotees may not offer obeisances to that devotee. Main janta hu tere ko acche se. Rather than offering obeisance, he may want to pull his leg. No, may have so many defects to see with him. So that gunda is much better situated. That doesn't mean that I need to become a gunda. Now we are already trying to be devotees. So we have no hope other than to behave properly. We have no choice. So therefore, these stories, you know, this is how. Therefore, the story of Chitraketu, Parikshit Maharaj, Kunti, Pandavas, they are realistic stories. Struggle is there, real struggle. Agasur, Bakasur, there is no struggle. Only you come to kill Krishna and you go back to Godhead. So these are not... They are a little deceptive to us for sadhaka, because we may take it for granted. But the stories of the Pandavas, the stories of Parikshit Maharaj, stories of Draupadi, story of Uttara, story of all the Pandavas, that is the reality of life. That is the reality of life. What we will have to go through is what the Pandavas went through. And still practice Krishna consciousness in an honest way. Otherwise, you know, there is a tendency to for taking it for granted. So therefore, whenever people tell stories, you know, hold Prabhupada's dhoti from back door, I become a little fearful. because I will hold the dhoti while doing all kinds of nonsense. And having that assurance, I will go back to Godhead. Our goal is not to go back to Godhead. Mahaprabhu doesn't talk about it. He talks about performing devotional service life after life. Mukti, he does not appreciate. He said, if you are doing bhakti for mukti, then bhakti is not bhakti. Bhakti becomes bhoga. At least that is the concept. So bhakti means what? You come back. Therefore, you know, a devotee should always feel, for me, going back to Godhead, it's a far distance dream. It will take millions of lifetimes. Rather than thinking, I'll go to go next life. You know, mar gaya to chala gaya. Sometimes people talk, you know, yes, going back to Godhead is very easy, but we should not say like that. He went back to Godhead. She went back to Godhead. He is going back to Godhead now. No. So that is not the concern. What is the relevance is that, you know, I'll have to come back to this material world. Seeing my own tendency is I'm meant to be coming to this material world for many lifetimes, so better behave nicely. Because religion can give rise to desensitized behavior, cruelty, you know, lack of sensitivity to others, and religion has done it many times, continues to do it. Therefore, people who are human beings, they want to avoid religion. They don't want to do anything with religion. They want to keep God away. Because this is the God you are presenting, we don't want to do anything. And selfishness, I was sharing with Gauram Prabhu, you know, the entire history of India, you know, whether great kings, some of the great kings wanted to do so much good, but their family were so small-minded. Their agenda was extremely small-minded. There was, you know, and the spiritualists, they're only interested in their personal emancipation. After all, I need to go back. You know, forget this world. My consideration is that I want to go back. No, when you are connected to this world, whether this world is your temple world or your outside world, you are connected. You have to contribute. You have to contribute positively. If you don't contribute positively, yesterday Prabhupada was mentioning in our Lilamrita reading that he said, people don't come to eat khichdi prasad. They don't come here as prasad. They are hungry, therefore they come here. Prabhupada is talking about it. So they are not coming because they are feeding prasad. They are hungry, they are coming. And because there is so much of disparity, he said, because of that disparity, the rich people are squandering money and therefore they are creating the Naxalites. In fact, what is the biggest problem in India is not corruption, Naxalites. And what is Naxalites? Naxalite means wealthy people are so much, you know, as our Krishna Chandra's father would say, you know, they are so much collecting this Asuri Sampatti, and Asuri Sampatti means becoming extremely selfish. And what does it do? It makes others Naxalite. Killing, torturing, murdering. Therefore, Bhishma told Yudhishthira Maharaj, he said, when the king becomes corrupt, how long people will tolerate? So there is a limitation. He said, same Bhishma says that king should be worshipped as Naradeva as long as he acts as Naradeva. When he doesn't do, then he shares the consequences. He doesn't say that people should do like this. He said, the consequences of a king who does not become like Naradeva, he said, public will bring him in the street and pelt stone and kill him. And that's what will happen. We don't need to know astrology for it. You know, these people are so shameless, such a selfishness, extreme degree of selfishness to just collect money. You know, they are not taught religion, they are not taught bhakti, they are not taught philosophy, they don't know karma, they don't believe. You know, there is complete shamelessness. So how long people will tolerate? They will not be able to tolerate. They will have to bring them down. It is not about, you know, we are telling they should do like this. It will happen like that. Whether you are a religious leader or a political leader and you act whimsically, foolishly and selfishly, you will be brought to the road and beaten to death. That's a reality. So therefore, as he mentioned very nicely, such a nice point, selflessness. Everybody is forced to be selfless. A father has to be selfless. A mother has to be selfless. Wife has to be selfless. Husband has to be selfless. Children has to be selfless. Parents have to be selfless. There has to be some amount of selflessness has to be there. And unfortunately, modern world doesn't teach. The child only thinks from his point of view. You know, why old age home? Because there are boarding schools. Why boarding schools? Because the parents don't want to take care of the children. So the boarding school want to make money out of them. See, everybody is thinking from such a perverted, you know, people want to exploit. All these boarding schools are creeping up because the parents don't want to take care of children. 5 saal ho gaya, phek do usko boarding school mein. Paisa to hai na? So that I can go for my kitty party and come to the temple also, maybe. Because the child has become burden. So naturally, because your psychology of child is a burden, eventually the child will think that you are a burden. So he'll send you old age home. Old age home is a response to boarding school. Boarding schools are required, no doubt. But give them good training. Gurukul was a boarding school. But not because they wanted to send their child because the child is burden. So therefore, karma is so precise and very powerful, people can't see it. Unfortunately. And Prabhupada sees it repeatedly in his books. You know, Naxalite is caused by, you know, simply selfishness. So therefore, you know, unless that quality of selflessness is there, again he explains in the 12th chapter, at least for some good cause you have to do something good. Everybody is responsible. Like I was in Singapore recently, the schools have this rule that everybody is socially responsible. Every school child has to do something for the society. They are forced to do it. And unless they do it, unless the child is taught to do for parents, then what the parents do, they pamper the child. Either pamper by giving things. Right? Bribing. Basically, you are not training child, you are bribing the child. A toffee lele or shut your mouth. You take this toy and shut your mouth. You take this money and go for party. Don't ask my time. And the same thing the child will do. Therefore, whenever we act wrongly, such a very easy, Ram told this to Bharat, artha, dharma and kama, they should be in harmony. If they are not in harmony, if they are in war, then you are finished. If adharma is there and you earn artha, then your kama is very dangerous. And because your kama is very dangerous, then there is no mukti, there is only bondage. You are bound to this material world again and again. Very clear philosophy. So in this clear philosophy, we should not add assumptions. There is no facility for assumption in bhakti, in Vaishnava, in Vedanta philosophy. You have to accept reality as it is. And most of the time, we present assumed ideas as philosophy. That creates a danger. Even if you are not pure, you will go back to Godhead. Even if you eat chocolates, you go back to Godhead. I am not saying one, you know, I am not talking about chocolate or anything. But why create philosophy out of chocolate? We are not here to discuss chocolate. We are here to discuss philosophy of Vaishnavism, philosophy of Krishna consciousness, philosophy of Vedanta. It has to be discussed as it is. You cannot change it. Law of karma is there, mercy is there. You cannot eliminate law of karma because you have some mercy. Now, whether it is Mahaprabhu, whether it is Jesus Christ, whether it is Allah, no, law of karma is implicated. If you misbehave, you know, the reaction will come. If you behave nicely, you will get reaction for that also. So therefore, on a conscious level, we seek mercy. On an action level, we behave responsibly. That is Vedanta philosophy. Gita is all about balance. You cannot remember Krishna without being active. You chant 200 rounds, but you are not doing any action, that is bogus. If you are doing all action, you don't remember Krishna, that is bogus. So just see, if you read Gita, what Krishna does, he creates balance. Yukta ahara vihara, yukta testasu karmasu. You know, everything is about balance, 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 balance. Bhakti is all about learning the art of balancing. And if you don't do it, then I think we should not go back to Godhead. You know, with the attitude of Agasur, Bakasur, Putana. Not a good place to go. We have to go to spiritual world by being bhaktas, by being devotees, not as Agasur, Bakasur. It is not agreed upon. All the Goswamis say, you know, Kaivalyam Narakayate. Whether it is Vaishnava Mukti or the Mayavad Mukti, they don't recommend. Kapil Muni explains to Mother Devati, they don't accept even if it is awarded to them. They are not tempted. They are not tempted by this. So therefore, best practice is chant 16 rounds every day. Follow the four regulative principles. Associate with devotees positively. You know, try to be less and less selfish. And no point of time be cruel to others. Even in the name of Krishna, even in the name of philosophy. Then this gives guarantee of going back to Godhead. Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai.